Harbe yimotze ba midrashos uba agados v'yesh mehem ba gebara sheyesh min anavim mi shiira Hashem yisbarach me'acharei mechitzos rabos u'mehem mi shiira ehu me'acharei mechitzos muatos l'fi kirvasim el Hashem yisbarach u'l'fi ma'alosim ba'nevuah. So we find in the midrashim and in the Gadot Gemaras that there are different Nevi'im that see Hashem with different levels of perception. Some only see Him through many mechitzos, you know, separations, and some with very few. Ach Amru, and obviously it's dependent, it's commensurate to your godless and Nevu'ah. Ach Amru Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom Ra Hashem Yisbarach Me'acharei Mechitza Achas Behira. The highest was Moshe Rabbeinu, who it says he saw Him behind, through a mechitza, but it was a mechitza behira, klomar mazhira. It was illuminated. Think of, like, let's say, clear glass. Fu amra mistaka bespaklaria hemi'ira. We don't know exactly what it means, but it's something that indicates a very clear perception. Vaspaklaria shem hamara anas miguf hamazir kishoam uzchuches. It's like something that's shiny and bright, like a jewel or like glass. Which we know from the Mishnayos and the end of Kalim. And what's the whole idea here? When we speak about elevated traits, whether they're intellectual traits, characteristics, or whether they're ethical malos, v'chena p'chisius, and so to the opposite of elevated traits, negative qualities, whether it's prisius, sichlios, like sichlus, being a fool, or miat havana, vidocha katfuna, having the inability to understand, umehen prisios hamidos, or ethical negatives, like rov hataiva and gaiva and roges and kas and azos and avas hamomon, like someone who has a lot of desire, or a lot of gaiva, or anger, or you love money. Vehein rabos ma'od, and there are there are many of these. Kfar zacharnu hasedir b'diyosan b'perek ha-revi'i. So, and we've already mentioned these. Ve'elu ha-prisios kulon, hein mechitzos ha-mavdiyos b'na adem b'na Hashem Yisbarach. So you have to realize that all of these negative traits, and that's why he's speaking about this partition between man and God, they create partitions. A person gets upset, or a person says something he shouldn't say, or says something he shouldn't say, or he looks at something he shouldn't look at. We think of it like, okay, that was an avera. But it's much more than that. It creates a distance. It creates a separation. As the Navi says, ki im avonoseichem hayim avdilim b'neichem levein elokeichem. The Navi Yeshaya says that our sins are the things that create separating walls between us and Hashem. Yomar. So on the one hand, that's like a little depressing, because we think, oh gosh, I think of all the averas that I've done, so there must be all these walls. But mitzad sheni, it means that there's nothing be'etzem separating us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, obviously, we're never going to be, you know, panim upanim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it all lies within our hands. If you do tshuva, so it breaks down the walls, and if you continue to do mitzvos, it turns up the light. It's in our hands. Meaning the relationship, sometimes a person says, oh, I'd like to have a relationship with the king or with the president of the United States. But how are you going? You can't get in there. How are you going to get into the Oval Office? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically says the door to the Oval Office is open. You just have to be able to be fit to get in. So it makes it completely dependent on us. Again, it's not that without those mechitzos we would be panim al panim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we all have such tremendous potential. And what prevents us from achieving that is really just ourselves. V'dasha kol navi lo niznabe ela achash yelo kol hamalos asichlios. V'dasha kol navi lo niznabe ela achash yelo kol hamalos asichlios. Nevi'im were never zocha to nevuah until they had first accomplished or achieved malos asichlios. V'rov malos amidos v'chazakosh ben. They also, so they had to reach a certain level of completion in terms of the intellect, and they also had to reach a certain level of elevation in terms of their midos, certainly the more significant ones. And that's what the Gemara tells us. I think it's the Gemara in Shabbos. Does it say there in the footnote where it is? Okay, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Einan avu ashora el achacham gibor v'ashir. You need to be a chacham, you need to be a gibor, and you need to be an ashir. What does that mean? The chacham is kolo kol amalos asichlios b'safik. Obviously, a chacham means a person who has intelligence, and he's learned, and he's studied. An ashir is one of the malos hamidos, right? Ashir, you would think, means being rich, but that's what he says, not. It's an ethical quality. Ritzona lomar, his stapkos, being able to get by with little. That's what ashir means. It's like a sameach b'chelko type of ashir. Okay? Mipnei shem korim ha-mistapik ashir, because someone who has what he needs is very wealthy. I feel very wealthy if I have what I need. So, hu amram begeder ashir, no, and this is what the Mishnah tells us. Where is it? The beginning of the third parak, I think, of Pirkei Avos?
Fourth
parak of Pirkei Avos. Ezu ashir ha-sameach b'chelko. Ben... Did it say there? Was it Ben Azai? Ben Zoma? Ben Zoma, I think. Ben Zoma says, Ezu, right, we have, that's the famous, the four things. Ezu chacham alomim mikol adam. Ezu ashir hasamech b'chelko. Rotsa lomar, she is, so it's interesting, the Rambam didn't quote that for Ezu hu chacham. Chacham, he says, means a chacham. But in terms of what's an ashir, Ezu ashir hasamech b'chelko. Rotsa lomar, she yaspik lo b'mesh himtzi lo zmano. V'lo yicha b'mesh lo yimtzi lo. And it doesn't hurt him what he doesn't have. It's an amazing thing to think about, that you could have one person who has millions and millions of dollars, but if he wants billions and billions of dollars, so he feels like he's lacking. You can have another person who has, whatever, I don't know, $50,000, but that's all he wants, and he's able to get by on that, and he feels, you know, sometimes you have people make a lot of money, but at the end of the month, whatever they made, they spent, because they have like four Lexuses, and they, you know, they go on a vacation every month, and, you know, whatever their all their expenses are, you know, they eat out at fancy restaurants, so they could make $30,000 a month, but at the end of the month, they have $1,000 left. You could have another guy who made $5,000, but he drives, you know, he drives a Corolla, and he goes out for pizza once in a while, but he's the happiest guy in the world, and at the end of the month, he also has $1,000. So what makes one guy richer? They both have $1,000 at the end. You say, oh, but the first guy had fancy dinners, but the second guy's very happy not to have fancy dinners. So what defines wealth? So that's what the Mishnah is telling us. So the Ashir, in order to be a Navi, you need to be an Ashir in the sense of being happy with what you have and feeling like you have everything you need. V'chein Gibor, who gam kein b'malos hamidos, v'tz lomar, she anhig kochosov kfi hadas v'ha'etza. K'mo shmerenu b'parak chamishi. V'uamro ezru Gibor ha'kovei she'es yitzro. So you also have to be a Gibor, but again, it doesn't mean that you have to work out in the gym in order to be a Navi. It means that you have to have inner strength, the ability to be kovei she'er yitzahara. Now, in order to be a Navi, you don't have to have all of the Malos Amidos. Until to the point that he doesn't, you know, have any lacking at all. We know that Shlomo HaMelech was a Navi. Hashem appears to him. But we find, says the Rambam, I wouldn't say this, but the Rambam says it. The Rambam says, we find by Shlomo HaMelech that he had a certain level of Prisos Midos. Now, it could be that when we're talking about this, we're talking on a very, very dark level. But he says, the Pashtus is that Shlomo HaMelech was a Rov HaTaiva. Bebeir Baharbos Nashim. He saw that he had, and the Navi is critical of him, that he had too many nashim. The pasuk says, but he had Shlomo HaMelech. The pasuk says was ohav nashim nachrios, and he had nashim nachrios rabos. The pasuk says, v'zel mipulos tchunos rabba taiva. This is a result of too much taiva. The amar mivuar halo al eile chata Shlomo, and the pasuk says that it was in this area that Shlomo sinned. Navi. We know David HaMelech was a Navi. Amar li diber tzur Yisrael. Tzur of Yisrael, Hashem spoke to me. U'matzanu also balach zarius. And we find that he had a certain element of him, of achzarius, of brazenness, or of I don't want to say cruelty, because cruelty is too extreme. But that's what the pasuk says, that when Shmuel, the Navi, came and saw him, it saw that he was an admoni. He had red hair, and which indicated a certain brazenness of personality. But then Chazal tell us, yeah, but he does it al pi beis din. But the Rambam is learning from there that, but that meant that he had some type of natural achzarius. Aval pi shelo shimesh ba ki'im ba'ovdei gilulim u'ba'arigas ha'kofrim. Now he channeled it to use it to destroy idol worshippers and kofrim. That's how he channeled his natural intensity. And he was a rachman li Yisrael. Aval ba be'er b'divrei ha'yam, Hashem yizbarach lo hirsheyu livnos beis ha'mikdash, but because he killed so much, so the Navi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, deemed him unfit to build the Beis HaMikdash. Now again, whenever we speak about Tanakh figures, so it's very hard to understand who they were and what they were, and even when we say Shlomo HaMelech had wrote Taiva and therefore he had too much women, so we have to be careful. That doesn't mean that he was like a, you know, and I'm embarrassed to even like express it this way. It doesn't mean that he was like a, certainly Chas V'Shalom, that he was like a womanizer, or that he was like, you know, hanging out in the bars and picking up women. Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Shalom. That's certainly not what we mean when we say that about Shlomo HaMelech. It's possible that when Shlomo HaMelech was marrying women, he was doing it because of very deep cheshbonos that he was making, right? However you see Rav Yoshev or you see Rav Chaim Kanievsky, so you shouldn't be looking at Shlomo HaMelech as any less than that. Barur. So if Rav Chaim Kanievsky married too many women, so and then we said, yeah, but there was like a little bit of an element of time there. So we were talking about a doc form of, you know, he was marrying them for the right reasons. But there was some mixture of some shemets of, that's in general the way that we, our Mesorah is in terms of how we deal with, the way you always look at it is, if you've ever met Rav Chaim Kanievsky, or you've, so no, none of the major figures of ours in Tanakh are any less than them. That's Barur. So now you have to reorient yourself. You know, we think of David HaMelech as like a guy with like, you know, like his shirt half ripped, and he's like, you know, he looks like Rambo, and he's like going through the fields, like killing people. But Chazal say that he carried a Sefer Torah with him, and he never walked, you know, he always had his tefillin on. So, you know, it's Pashat that that's what he looked like. So, you know, we're not used to thinking in those terms. So the good people were very good, and the bad people were very evil. But we have to know who's an evil person, who's not an evil person. I mean, some of the people that we think of as evil people are not necessarily so evil, you know, or they didn't start off so evil. You know, a lot of very, you know, Yeravam ben Nevat, that's highlighted in the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam picks him as like the paradigm of evil characters. But Chazal say that he was one of the Gedolei Ador. Now, something happened. He soured. Something happened. But he, certainly in the beginning, so they're very complicated figures. These are tragic figures. These are not, they're not all evil to the core. Amar atalosim nebayis lishmi, ki domim rabim shafachta artza lefanai. You're not going to build the Beis HaMikdash because you spilled lots of blood. Matzana be Eliyahu zechor latov, midas haragzonos. And we find Eliyahu Navi getting upset. And even though his anger was directed towards Kofrim, Aval Amru Chachamim Shehashem Yisbarach Lokcha V'yamar Lo She'eino Roy Limshol B'vnei Adam Liyos Tam L'Kohen Mi She'esh Lo Kina K'mo She'esh Lo Ki Yemisem. So what are we talking about here? So we see that the Chazal said that he was a kapton, and that he was a kapton against Ochav. Now Ochav was not exactly, again, speaking just on a very poshut level, Achav doesn't really appear to be such a great figure. So what's wrong with him getting upset at him? So that's what he says. Even though his anger was being directed at people that weren't exactly tzaddikim, but still, Hashem told him that he wasn't roy to maintain a certain position in Klal Yisrael because he had kinnah. Now kinnah here doesn't mean jealousy. Kinnah means like Lashon of Kanos, like he was a Kanoi. He was zealous, too zealous. V'chein matzina b'Shmuel shepachad mishol. Also we find Shmuel gets fearful of Shaul. Or Yaakov is shepachad mipikishas Esav. Right? He's scared of the pikisha with Esav. Elo amidos kiyotzev enhei mechitzos ben Hashem yizbarach imanaviyem ma'olehem ha'shalom. Now, again, the Rambam's discussion has to be put into context, because all these people, Eliyahu HaNavi, reached very, very high levels. But whatever small shemets of a bad midah that he had, that created a form of separation. So there was some type of separation. Now I know that our separation between us and Hashem is much thicker than Eliyahu's. But even Eliyahu had some type of separation. And that this is the Rambam is bringing from here a raya, that in order to be a Navi, you don't have to reach perfection in ethical in your midos. You have to be very good with your midos. Eliyahu Navi, if we saw him, we would not be able to pick up on the fact that there was any criticism of him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was critical of him, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with tzaddikim is super, super highly sensitive. And therefore, if you have two midos or three midos that are not mimutzos, mimutzos again means that they're in the middle, that they're well balanced, so then that means that you have at least two or three boundaries between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because each of these creates a boundary. And it's not, impossible at all. It's not even hard to imagine that even the smallest, a small little chisaron in one of these midos will bring down your level of nevuah. We even find that sometimes having a little bit of a negative element of one midah can remove your nevuah completely, like anger. It says, "Kol hakoes im navihu nevuaso mistakelos mimeno." So you find that by kas, which is a very bad trait, that a little bit of kas can ruin your nevuah completely. Ve'ivu raya melisha shenestalkim mena nevuah kishakas achi yisir kaso, until he removed his kas. And that's what it says. Va'atu kuli menagin, he needed music to calm him down, because when he was angry, he poshit couldn't get any nevuah. It removed it completely. So if there's certain midos that can remove it completely, for sure, being lacking in certain areas will limit our ability to connect to nevuah. Ubavur ha'anochahat v'hadaga shal Yaakov Avinu alav Hashem kol yimei yis'ablu al Yosef. And you should also know, Chazal tell us, that all of the days that Yaakov was worrying and upset about Yosef's disappearance, nistalku imenu ruach hakodesh, ad shenisbaser b'chayev, until he was told that Yosef was alive. And then what does it say? Fatihi ruach Yaakov avim. There was a certain enlivenment of his soul, of his ruach. V'amaram et targim. And what does the targum say on that? Ushras ruach nevuah Yaakov avuon. What does it mean that it raised his spirits? Raised his spirits doesn't just mean that he was happy and he was skipping. It means that he got nevuah back. V'loshan hachachamim, eina nevuah shora lo mitoch atzvos, lo mitoch atzvos. Nevuah can't be had through laziness or through sorrow. Rather, it has to be only mitoch simcha. When Moshe Rabbeinu knew that there was really no mechitzos left between him and Hashem, he saw that he was getting so close. And he realized that he had basically perfected his midos and his intellect. So what was the first thing he asked for? That's it. I've removed all of the mechitzos. I want to see it all. So he was bikesh lahasig mahus Hashem yisparach ala mitas mitzuso. So he asked to have to be masig the essence and the truth of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Achashol nishar lo moneh, because he felt that he had nothing separating him anymore. V'omar, and that's when he asks, Har'eini no'as kvodecha, please show me your kavod. V'hodiyo Hashem Yisparach she'efshir lo zeh. And Hashem responded and says, it's impossible, b'yoso seichel nimtza b'chomer, because your seichel cannot be perfected, kol zman, that it's still housed in a physical body. Rotza lomar me'asher hu adam, because you're, what's the word I'm thinking of? Yeah, what's the, you're mortal. You're a mortal man. You can't see me and live. So what was left was one very, very thin mechitza. That was all that was left. He kimat got there. And that is the fact that his mind was still a human mind, which can never be nivdal. Nivdal means beyond, completely transcend, completely separate. V'gomal Elov Yisparach Chesed, but Hashem still gave him a gift of chesed betet lo min asaga. He gave him a partial understanding. Achar she'ela yosem yishayetzlo kodem she'elaso. So he gave him, in response to his question, he showed him something. He bumped him up a little bit. Not all the way, but a little bit. More than what he had before he asked. Vodio shetachlis ahi efsher lo mitneshu balgeshem. But he still told them, but complete understanding is not possible because you're physical. Vikina amitas asaga brias panim. And they used, and Hashem used as a mashal, as a parable, the idea of seeing the face. Ki adam kishira penei chaveru, because when a person sees his friend's face, tia az benafsho chakuka tsuraso. That, you know, that reflects a certain clear perception of the other person. When I see your face, so then I can definitely identify it to you. Meaning when I walk, see you walking from behind, when I'm behind you and I see you walking and I see the back of you, so I could sort of tell it's you. But when I finally see your face, then I know for sure it's you. So they use that mashal. Ad shlo yisariv lo im zuloso afilu b'shashin aroso. And that way, once you have someone's face embedded in your mind, you know who they are. Aval kishir achorav, aval pishu makiro b'riyahu. When you see someone from behind, pamim yusupach lo yisariv lo im zuloso. It could be that you might mistake him for someone else. You know, from the back, it looks like Seth. But then, it could be that it's somebody else. So obviously the ultimate perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is where you know him completely. Where you can't mistake him for anything else. You have an absolute clear perception. To the point where you can't, there's no separation between who Hashem is and other beings. It's absolutely clear in your mind. But we can't get that absolute perception. That's why he says to Moshe, you saw my back. You didn't see my front. He says, I'll speak more about this in my Sefer of Nevuah. Okay, we have 1 minute. When Chazal realized that these two aspects of negative traits, meaning intellectual and ethical, they're the things that separate between a person and Hashem, and also by accomplishing in these areas, that's what gives the Navi his stature. If they saw a Tana who had great midos or who was really smart, they would say, oh, he's Roy for Shechina. Because they knew that midos and intellect are what bring you to Nevuah. So therefore, if they wanted to praise someone's midos or someone's intellect, they would say, oh, this is a guy who's Roy for Nevuah. When they say this, they don't mean that he's like Moshe Rabbeinu Mamish, but they're just trying to give that over the idea of someone who really worked well on their midos or their intellect. Like Yehoshua ben Nun, Alatzad Asher Zacharnu. And that's what we wanted to explain in this parak.